Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church. I want to thank you so much for checking out our podcast. This past Sunday, we had the privilege of being taught by Pastor Andy Stanley of North Point Community Church. So for our podcast feed, we are going to pull out a message from the archive. I believe this message is going to impact you in a new, fresh way. Enjoy. You're here on a great day because we're getting started on a new set of talks called The Journey. The Journey. What we're going to do for the next 5 weeks together leading right up to Easter is I want us to take a journey towards the cross. I want us to see the cross in maybe a different light. There's a scripture in the Bible where one person says that the cross seems foolish to some people, but to other people, it shows us power. It shows us how to be saved. And I know for me, there's been moments in my life where I've seen the cross and thought, foolish. What's all the hype about? Why are people getting so excited about this cross and this Jesus? And it seems so silly to us. And I want you to take a journey with me over these next few weeks. I want you to discover that the cross is a place of power, that the cross is a place of life change. And so that's what we're going to do. And to do that, we're going to work through some Psalms together. Some Psalms. So we're actually going to be in the book of Psalms for the next 5 weeks. Today we're in Psalms 32. So if you want to turn there now and get ready, I'll read it together with you in just a couple minutes. But I want to tell you about a project that I took on last weekend. Anyone have projects in your house that have been there for years? And finally you're like, and I see spouses already are like tapping husbands and knocking people. And I understand it. Hey, I lived with a leaky bathtub faucet for like years. And it's so funny how when there's that little nuisance project that you just acclimate to it, right? Like, it's okay. It doesn't need to be spackled. It's fine. The hole is good, right? I like the cold air that comes in, or the drip is nice. It's soothing, right? We just get used to those things. But I had decided enough was enough with this leaky tub. And I had a friend tell me, like, look, man, you're getting water dripping in. It's going to fill up your cesspools at some point. Like, you just have a constant drip all day long. I'm like, I don't want that. I can do this, right? And he kind of encouraged me to say, this really isn't a tough project for you to take on. Now, if you know me, you know, like, you got to scale it way far down when you talk about tough projects. Like, I can change light bulbs. That's where I live. That's it. I got nothing else for you, right? So we have a great facilities team here. They take care of things. It's not me. But I was like, I can do this. He said I could. And I did what any of us do when we don't know what to do. I go to YouTube, right? I mean, thank the Lord for YouTube. You just go on YouTube. You put in, like, how do I change tub faucet? Boom. Watched the video, felt like I knew what I needed to know. And I went to Home Depot, which is only a mile and a half from my house, which is important for the rest of this story. So I go to Home Depot, I get everything that I think I need, right? And I get back to the house and I start taking the thing apart. And I'm like, all right, I got this. I got the YouTube video set up right here on the tub. And I'm watching the guy and I'm doing the same thing. And then I guess I didn't watch all of it and listen, because I got to one part where he says, and now apply the grease to your O-ring. And I'm like, grease to my O-ring? What in the world does that mean? And I'm like, oh, I guess I need to get this. So I head back to Home Depot. Now, the same plumbing associate that helped me the first time, she's still floating around the plumbing department because that's where she lives. That's where she works right now. And I have this issue that maybe you have. I don't like confessing to other people when I don't know what I'm doing. I don't like confessing there's a problem, confessing that there's a mistake. Like, I try to hide that. So I see her floating around and I'm like, I just don't want her to see me and think I'm a fool for being back literally like 10 minutes later. So I'm playing a little like hide and seek and I'm ducking in and out. And sure enough, we kind of bump into each other. I'm like, she's like, oh, you're back. I'm like, yeah. You know, I thought I had grease at home for my O-ring, but I didn't. She's like, oh, do you know? Right, like, she's like, do you know where it is? I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I get grease all the time. So I had no idea where it was. So I look at what just happened. I lied to a stranger, right? Because I didn't want to confess that there was a problem. I didn't want to let her know. I've never met this woman in my life, right? So thank God the grease was easy to spot. And the problem too, to make it worse, was they were waiting to close that aisle to get something down. So like, I was on a time clock. They're like, yeah, just run in there and get your grease. I'm like, oh Jesus, please. Like, now's the time when I need Holy Spirit illumination. Where is the grease? Grab it. I head back to the house and now I've got everything taken apart and I'm doing my best to figure out what's going on here. And like any good millennial, I figured why not share my troubles on Instagram? So I have a picture up here. You guys can see, this is what I look like at this moment, right? Look, I went all in. Like, you don't need a headlamp, but I figured why not? I use it when I go running. So I'm going to try and look in the wall right now and see what the problem is. So there I am. And at this point, I don't know what was going on. I had no idea, right? Like I've got it taken apart. I put it all back together and I turn on the water again and I got drips even worse. And I'm like, oh man. Now, because none of us like to confess, right? Now my wife is asking what's going on. Is it everything okay? Babe, everything is fine. This is just a process. Like, cause you've been working on this for 4 hours, right? Yeah, I know, but it's that kind of a project. It's that kind of a project. So I end up reaching out to a friend of mine. I FaceTime and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, man. Like, I think I'm going to get divorced. Like, I'm lying to everybody. So come find out, like, I got the wrong pieces altogether. So I got to go back to Home Depot a third time, right? There's the associate. I end up hiding in the appliance department for like 10 minutes till I see her leave far enough away from plumbing, run in. I grab so many pieces. I've still got a bag of pieces on my door at home. Like I just grabbed what I saw. I was like, it's gotta be some of this stuff. Threw it all in the bag, bought a whole bunch, figured I'll return later. Just get me out of here. Thank the Lord. I ended up getting it fixed, right? No more drip. Happy wife, happy life. In the process, I lied to a couple people, but that's just kind of casualties of war, I guess. But the reality is this. The reason why my problem turned into a bigger problem is because my true problem is I don't like confessing I have a problem. Did you follow that? The true problem in my life and in your life is that we don't like confessing we have a problem. That's one of the hardest things for us to do is to confess there's an issue here. So all of us, we have struggles. All of us have things we'd rather keep hidden. We all have things we'd rather not let an associate know about for the third time. We all have things that we wouldn't let our spouses know about, things we don't feel comfortable telling our bosses about, things we don't feel comfortable telling our parents about, depending on your season of life. Why? Because confession is a struggle for us. Because it's hard for us to confess things, right? Like, that's why, guys, that's why when you're... Your wife asks, do you know where you're going? The answer is always yes. It's always yes. It doesn't make a difference. Yes, I know where I'm going. Because even in that moment, we just don't want to walk down that path of I'm lost. We don't want to say that. Wait, you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills and your spouse asks, are we going to be all right this month? And we tend to just make it a little bit lighter than it actually is. Right now, maybe we'll justify in our hearts, I don't want to alert them. I don't want to make them nervous. But the reality is our biggest problem is we don't like admitting we have a problem. We don't like confessing to something. That's why when your boss is on vacation and you choose to come into work late every day that week, you don't tell him about it next week. You're not running up, yeah, I knew you were away, so I just kind of took an extra 10, 15 minutes in the morning. We don't confess things because the true problem that we have is we have a problem with confession, right? Kids don't run home announcing a bad grade, right? Hey, look at this grade. Look at that letter, right? Like no one does that. We don't do those things. You know, wives, moms, maybe it's hard if you're juggling work and being a mom and taking care of the house, I know for my wife, the biggest kid she's got to take care of is me right here. So she's got three kids to take care of. And I know for her, we talked this week. She's like, yeah, it's hard for me at times to confess that there's a lot going on because we don't like showing that side of us. You know what the problem is? We've been conditioned to believe that confession will always be met with closed arms. Right, we've been conditioned as a society, as people, to believe that when I confess, there's gonna be closed arms. No one's gonna welcome that. No one's gonna accept me. If I tell my boss, I might lose my job. If I tell my spouse, she might leave me. Right, kids, if I tell my parents that grade, I might lose my phone. Right, like we all have those different things that are reminding us, no, you can't confess. You cannot confess right now. You might lose. Confession is going to be met with closed arms. Closed arms. And here's the sad part, guys. None of us like living that way, right? None of us like ducking in and out of aisles at Home Depot to hide something. None of us like making that phone call to say, yeah, I screwed up. None of us like hiding those things. None of us like living in that world. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could find freedom? Wouldn't it be amazing if confession could be possible? And I want you to know this morning that confession is possible. That confession is possible. As much as society would tell us, don't tell them. Nope, there are some things you cannot share with certain people. You don't understand that the reaction is going to be devastating. It's better for you to just live with it than to confess it. I want you to find freedom this morning. That's my prayer all week as I've been praying for you, that you would find freedom this morning through confession. But the problem is we've got to push against the norm of society. You've got to push against that conditioning that's been conditioned on you since you were born. You know how I know that? Because my son, he'll be 3 in 2 months. You know, I've never once had to tell him to hide things from me and his mom, but he just does it naturally. It's the funniest thing when I look at it that way. I never had to tell him, you can't come and tell me about the mess that you made, right? But yet he hides it. There's something in him that already he's like, no, if I share this, there might be closed arms. What are the consequences going to be if I share this? The last week or whenever it was, I smell like a weird smell from our playroom. I'm like, what in the world is that? I'm like, Nate, what's that smell? He's like, oh, I dumped water on the radiator. I'm like, first of all, how'd you learn the word radiator? And second of all, why would you do that? Like, right? But he hid it from me for a good amount of time because we're conditioned not to confess. This morning, I want you to know that confession is possible. Confession is possible. Now, what's really cool is we're not the first people group to struggle with confession. We're not. In fact, people have been struggling with confession since people have been people. This has been a problem for people since people have existed in this world. You see confession problems all throughout history, and not just biblical history, just history. I mean, a simple Google search, simple news articles, simple news headlines, you'll see people that were hiding something for a certain amount of time, and then it came to the surface. Why? Because we've been conditioned to believe that confession will be met with closed arms. Today, I want you to realize confession is possible. Confession is possible. And to understand that, I want us to look at a man named David who had a pretty hefty sized mess to confess to. And what's so cool about David's life is he records his mess for us, and he also records for us how he felt when he was hiding his mess and the liberation he experienced when he confessed. And my friends, this morning, I want to invite you on this journey to discover that confession is possible for you. That no matter what it is you think you can't bring to God, you can. There can be freedom for you today. So we're going to read Psalm 32 together, verses 3, 4, and 5. If you have your Bible, I hope you turn there with me. Whether your Bible is open it up or turn it on, however you choose to use a Bible, get that out. And if you don't have a Bible, we're going to provide scripture up here for you to follow along with. But I encourage you, bring your Bible. Bring your Bible each week. Would you stand with me now, and we'll read Psalm 32. Verses 3, 4, and 5 together. It says this, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Amen. You may be seated. Man, that's a strong passage of scripture right there, right? Amen. To the coffee, to the word of God. Right? That is a good passage of scripture. You know what's so interesting is this psalm is known as a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, some of you are like, what is a psalm? A psalm is pretty much a song. When you read the book of Psalms, you're actually reading a collection of songs that the Jewish people would sing at different moments in their life, at different seasons of the year. Certain songs were for certain times. And this song is known as a song of thanksgiving, and it's written by David. Now, who is David? What right does he have to talk about confession and guilt and forgiveness and healing? What gives him that credential? Why is he qualified to write about this? Well, I'm not going to rehash David's entire story because this week on your devotional guide, one of the things to do is to read in 2 Samuel his story. But I do want to share with you this. David had an instance where he broke 5 of the 10 commandments in one moment. 5 of the 10 commandments. He first saw his neighbor's wife, which the Bible would say coveted. He wanted to take her, and so he did. He stole her from her husband and committed adultery with her. She got pregnant, so in order to cover it up, he murdered her husband and then lied about the whole thing. That's commandment number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 for King David, King of Israel, in one moment. In one moment. And honestly, if we were to really evaluate, we could see that he kind of broke all the commandments in that one time. And definitely the first one of having no other God before me, because we only sin when we place something up in front of Jesus Christ. So here's David little background to why he's writing this song, but it's a song of thanksgiving. It's not a song of sorrow. It's not a song of woe is me and I've done this horrible thing and I can't tell anybody about this and there's no way God's gonna accept me. It's classified as a song of thanksgiving. It's classified as a song of freedom, as a song of liberation. And this morning, I want you to ask the question, what worked for David, can it work for me? What David found, can I find that today in 2017? Because this is like 3,000 years ago. But the answer is yes. The same thing that moved David to find freedom, the same thing that made confession possible for this guy that jacked up the Ten Commandment list is for you today. But there's a couple starting points that David had, and we see them here. And the first is this, we need to call it what it is. We need to call it what it is. What do I mean by that? When you look at David and he uses his language in this song, he's saying, when I refuse to confess my sin to you, refuse to confess my sin to you. Now, in our culture, when we hear the word sin, there are typically two responses that we have. The first way that we use it is we use it in a funny way, right? We kind of laugh at the word, like, you got to have this chocolate. It is sinfully delicious, right? Like it's just so good. It's so bad for you. But we kind of chuckle and we laugh at that word. And then there are another way that we use it, which is how I'm using it now, which when someone, a communicator or someone starts talking to you about this word sin, right? I can see some of you guys are sweating. You weren't sweating a minute ago. I don't know what it is, right? But all of a sudden we hear the word sin and we get a little nervous, right? We get a little like a little shaky and we're not sure if there's going to be guilt and shame associated because that's what we've been taught. When sin gets brought up, man, I know that the guy is going to eventually talk about guilt and shame. He's eventually going to go there. And so we brace ourselves for that. But that's not exactly what David meant when he said sin either. He wasn't getting nervous when he used the word sin. David had a very good definition for sin. He called his thing what it was. He called it sin. And this is what David meant when he said sin. There was two good definitions. He was talking about self-assertion, and he was talking about going off the path. That's literally the Hebrew translation of the word David uses in this Hebrew song. When he says, I have sinned against you, he's saying, God, I have asserted myself above what you would have me do. You would tell me not to, and I did. You would tell me not to, and I didn't. Or you would tell me to, and I didn't, right? That's David asserting himself in the place of God. That's his view of sin. And I love the other Hebrew definition that creates image for us. Going off the path. Going off the path. Like if this is the path that God would have me on, when I go off of this, I am sinning. I am going off of the path. And why am I bringing this up? Why did David be so intentional with his language? Because if we don't have a proper definition of what it is that's in us, we're gonna apply the wrong strategies. Here's what I mean. If it's simply a problem that we're dealing with, well, I can fix a problem, right? My tub issue, it was a problem that needed to be fixed, right? If there is a mistake, I can correct a mistake. I can do that. That's the strategy I implement for a mistake. Right? If it's a weakness, well, I just compensate for a weakness, right? I compensate for it. If I'm weak in this area, I find someone who's stronger. We compensate. If it's a flaw, well, I can work on that too. I can do something. Those words imply strategies that we can use. The word sin, calling it what it is, leads us to one strategy. One strategy. There's only one way that we can correct sin, and that, my friends, is confession. The problem is if we're not willing to call what it is that we're hiding sin and we call it a problem, then yes, we try to fix the problem ourselves. I'll just shape my behavior. I'll just go to church more. I'll just give more money away. I'll just start reading my Bible more. And we try all of these strategies to fix a problem, but it's not a problem that we're not confessing. It's sin. We need to call it what it is, or it's not going to lead us to the proper strategy. I've had this pain on the right side of my mouth for years now. I can't tell you the last time ice cream has come onto the right side of my mouth. I just don't put it there. Why? Because there's pain in the top right side of my mouth. Now, I'm not moved so much by this pain to actually do something about it, right? It's just annoying to me. All right, fine. I have another side of my mouth. I'll just chew food on that side and whatever. We'll wait till it gets worse, right? I'm sure you have things like that in your life where it's annoying, but it doesn't really need this correcting right now. It doesn't need this strategy. But when you get a diagnosis, that is a little more severe. Like if someone were to tell me, hey, get this corrected or all your teeth are gonna fall out, then okay, I can work with that. I will now go to the dentist, right? Like give, call it what it is, give me the right prescription of what it is and I'll do something about it. My friends, if we're not willing to call it what it is in us, sin, we're gonna live in this complacent state and say it's not that bad. David knew he couldn't live there. David understood, no, it wasn't when I wasn't confessed that little kind of incident that I had, when I didn't confess the problem, the mess that I made. No, he knew I have to call this what it is because it's going to remind me of the strategy that's needed to correct it, which is confession. And not only that, if you give it the right definition, you see the right type of consequences associated with it. David describes what it feels like to be in sin, not to be in problem, mistake, flaw world. He says, when I refused to confess my sin in verse 3, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. That's a sin problem. That's not a mistake problem. That's David recognizing because I am hiding a self-assertion from God, because I'm refusing to confess I've gone off the path to God, my body is groaning. You know what this reminds me of? This is like David sits down to eat his favorite meal and it just doesn't taste that good. You ever had that because of something that's going on in your life? Like, man, I love spaghetti and meatballs all the time. Why do the meatballs taste so weird today? Right? Or your sleep isn't so sweet any longer. Man, I used to sleep like a rock. Now I'm sleeping like a baby, which I don't understand why they use sleeping like a baby for solid night's sleep, because they probably didn't have a baby, because my baby does not sleep like a baby, right? You know what I'm saying? Like we say, oh, I slept like a baby. Does that mean you were up every hour? So that's more what David is. I think he's sleeping like a baby. He is up every hour. He is tossing and turning. His body is groaning, right? He's got aches. His stomach feels sick to itself, and he doesn't know why. Oh, wait, yes, I do. When I refused to confess my sin, my body was groaning. Why wouldn't David just confess his sin? Because David was conditioned the same way you and I have been conditioned. If I tell them, they're going to close their arms. I mean, this is the king of Israel. Do you know what he has on the line if this gets out? His kingdom ripped away. His reputation gone. His wealth. Everything. Relationships. Just you're telling me you saw your neighbor's wife. Not only your neighbor, but the man who it was one of his mighty men. Was one of his chief generals in his army. And he sees his wife takes her, has adultery with her, kills him, lies about it. And he's like, I can't tell. I'm going to be met with closed arms. Now, what's very interesting is the Bible doesn't give us a timeline here. Because we just go from verse 4 to 5 and we're like, oh, I guess it was just an overnight understanding. Okay, now he was done with it. The most I can give you is at the very least, before he confessed, it had to be 9 to 10 months. Because Bathsheba, who he slept with, had the baby. And so he had killed the husband, had the baby, and then a man of God came and talked to him. So we don't know, months, years, David's groaning in his heart. He is groaning in his body. He is living with this, and he gets to a moment where he says, enough is enough. Verse 5, I confessed all my sin. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and my guilt is gone. Come on, my guilt is gone. What moved David to confess? It wasn't his own strength. It wasn't finally he was done with it. What moved him to confess was a promise that he realized about God, that forgiveness was promised to him, that confession would only be given because forgiveness was promised to him. What did he say? You forgave me. All my guilt is gone. You forgave me. David has this moment where he realized I'm hiding something from someone who has promised to forgive me. He has promised that forgiveness is made available to me when I confess. What moved David to confession was God, was the beauty of God, was the promise of God. This morning, are you fed up with the guilt that you have? Are you fed up with the sin that you're hiding? Are you done? Is enough enough? Now, this is the moment where I would be expected to say, well, come on, be like David. Just move like David moved. Confess your sin this morning. Raise your hand, respond. Confess your sin. If David could, you could. But here's a problem with that. Here's what I know about you. You've tried. Come on, if it's as simple as being like David, who here has not tried that already? Because I know I have. And I've tried and I failed. If I could be motivated by David himself and just say, oh, all right, if David could do it, I could do it. All right, it's Sunday morning. Let's start the first day of the week. I'm not going to do this sin anymore. Ah, Tuesday comes. There it is again. I guess I have to wait for another Sunday. Because if we're just going to be moved by the example of a man, that is not going to last. And David himself was not moved by his inner strength. He was moved by the promise of God for forgiveness. And that promise is available to every single person today. And what's so cool about today is that the promise was on display for us. Whereas David looked ahead and he had a man of God come and share the promise with him, we now see it clearly. Understand, God knows the guilt you're carrying right now. God knows the sin that you are unwilling to confess. He knows what is eating at you. He knows what is causing your body to groan. He knows why your food doesn't taste as good, why you're sleeping like a baby. He knows those things. And so he has responded in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Confession is possible because forgiveness is promised. And that promise was made so clear on the cross. In a statement that Jesus Christ made. Do you know what Jesus said on the cross in regards to forgiveness? He says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Do you know what Jesus is doing on the cross in this moment? He is standing in the gap for every single person who would hide their sin from God and saying, I'll confess for them. He knows that you and I are so conditioned to hide our sin that Jesus himself stands there and pleads for us to God and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, present tense, which means it's not just the sins that you have committed, but it's the sin right now that you're not willing to bring to him. Jesus is saying, you still don't know what you're doing. I will plead for you. I will plead. I will make the promise of forgiveness as clear as I possibly can here on the cross and say, Father, forgive them. Father, they are wasting away. Father, their body is groaning. Father, they have been conditioned to believe they can't confess because of closed arms. And here I am, arms wide open, saying, come, come. My friends, this morning, if you are hiding your sin, if you are believing that you can't confess because God is going to close his arms to you, you don't not know that you have sin to confess. What you don't know is how much God wants to forgive you. You have a wrong view of the promise of God. Because I don't have to stand up here for 30 minutes and try to convince you that you have something to confess. You already know that. We all know that. And if you don't and you're married, ask your spouse. They'll tell you, all right? So if you really don't know, I have nothing wrong. Just ask your spouse. Don't do it on the car ride home because you don't want to ruin a good church service. So wait till tomorrow. But we all know. We all know. In fact, if we look in this mirror, we all can see clearly what we need to confess. We all see that. We know what we need to confess. The problem is we don't need to know what our sin is more. We need to know the promise of God more. That's what moves us to confession. One person in the Bible said it this way, your kindness leads me to repentance. Not your judgment, not your wrath. Those are aspects of God that we need to understand. But what moves us to confession, what moves us to repentance is the kindness, the mercy, the love of God, the promised forgiveness of God. And so this morning, if you are not yet willing to confess, you need to know the promise of God is for you. You need to know that confession is possible because forgiveness is promised. Confession is possible because forgiveness is promised. On your chair, there was a tiny mirror. I'm going to ask you to do two things. One, don't leave these here because we have babies and this is a choking hazard. Okay? So that's just a side note. That's a public service announcement. Second thing, the real thing is this. I want you to take this mirror this week and I want you to put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. So for me, right when I leave here, I'm putting it right in my cup holder because every morning a cup of coffee goes into that cup holder. So I'm going to see this in that cup holder before I put my coffee in. And you know what it's going to remind me of? Keith, you have a very a very good view of yourself. You look in a mirror, you see yourself. That's easy. But what you need to do is you need to get a good view of God's promise this week. You need to look in this mirror, and when you see yourself, you need to be reminded, hold on, confession is possible because forgiveness is promised. Confession is possible because forgiveness is promised. And I'm praying that this takeaway is going to be your tangible reminder to know the promise of forgiveness that was made to David is made to you today. And there is freedom for you, and there is liberation for you. And my heart breaks as I think of so many people who still believe they can't confess to God. They can't bring this to God. I just want to say it, you're wrong. You're wrong if that's what you believe. God has promised forgiveness. He has promised open arms to be met. Don't allow the conditioning of society to cause you to hide. Don't hide your guilt. Don't hide your sin. Call it what it is. Stop wasting away and bring it to Jesus, who has already pleaded for your forgiveness. He calls us to look to his son, Jesus. Could you imagine how we would change our world if we lived this way? Could you imagine how we would change our communities? How we wouldn't have to hide things any longer from our bosses, our spouses, our friends, our family members. Why? Because knowing that the God of the universe has accepted me moves me to a place of identity, moves me to know, even if you reject me horizontally, even if you have a right to reject me horizontally because of the sin, I am accepted and loved by the Father. That changes things. My prayer this morning is that you would take a journey to the cross. Would you stand with me as we get ready to conclude? And here's what I want to do. I want to invite you to respond now. So I'm going to say a corporate prayer for us. And this morning, if right now you know, come on, you know there's a sin, not a mistake, I can fix that. Not a problem, I can work on that. Not a weakness, I can compensate. There is sin. There is something in me that I have yet to confess to God. There is an area of my life that I will not turn over to him. This morning, I invite you to find freedom. I invite you to be liberated. Rather, Jesus does on the cross with arms open wide, saying there is forgiveness promised to you. And so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you during my prayer, sneak out to the back of the room. Let Mike pray with you and agree with you that forgiveness is promised to you today. Come on, some of us, you know all we need? We need a hug. We need someone to wrap their arms around us because we believe everyone's going to close their arms to me. Everyone, this morning, let Mike pray with you while I pray up here. Don't miss this opportunity for freedom. If you got to tap someone, tap someone. They will gladly move, I promise. Father, we thank you so much. Oh, we thank you that you promised to us forgiveness. We thank you that confession is possible because forgiveness is promised to us. The same promise you made to David, you make to us today. And Father, my prayer is that freedom would overwhelm our hearts this morning. Lord, there is not one of us that could say we're okay without confessing to you. Confession is a daily practice. Confession is something we have to always be reminded of. And forgiveness needs to always be at the forefront of our lives. Fill our hearts with your promise today and this week. May we be people who are changed by the promise of forgiveness. May we live on fire for you, sharing that forgiveness with other people, knowing that confession is made possible because forgiveness is promised. We thank you that Jesus stood in the gap for us. We thank you that he got up on the cross and said what we would never say without him saying it for us. Said something that we needed him to say to move us to confess. We thank you that you care enough about us to send your son to this world to take our place. Father, my prayer is that freedom would overwhelm us today. In Jesus' name, amen.